A shower of light. Reed. The fire spread quicker than natural, licking up the haystack, our feet, within seconds. The hellfire, the eternal flame. There is no solution, Coco had told me, fruit or otherwise. How do you know? Because the fire stemmed from my grief, and there is no solution for grief, only time. Despite the sweltering heat, cold dread seized me. Shouting Lou's name, I twisted toward her, determined to shield her, to protect her from the inevitable. I would not give up. I would not cede. If we could free ourselves, we could jump to safety. Panicked, Philippe crashed into Auguste, knocking him from the platform. A flame caught the king's sleeve. It engulfed him instantaneously, and he fell to the ground, writhing, shrieking, as Philippe swiftly stripped the king of his lion's cloak, attempted to strip him of his burning shirt, but the fabric had already melted into his skin. Philippe recoiled instantly, recognizing the battle lost. Olé, olé! Auguste flung a hand toward his wife, who stood beside the platform. Without a word, she turned and entered the church. Blanching at the havoc on the street, Father Gaspard followed quickly behind. Philippe crushed Auguste's hand underfoot as he, too, fled.
Get out of here.
Barely audible, Lou jerked her head toward Beau. He still grappled with the rope, grimacing against the flames. They curled up his boots, his leather boots.
Leave.
No,
he snarled. The heat was all-consuming now, the pain. Below us, Auguste's shrieks stopped abruptly, his limbs stilled, skin and flesh melting into bone. With empty eyes, he stared at his burning city forevermore. The flames danced on his corpse.
I can't extinguish them.
Adrenaline roared through my ears, deadening Lou's voice. Though her face contorted with concentration, I could scarcely see through the smoke, could scarcely breathe. The fire raged on. It crept from the alleys, the hidden doors, the cracks and the crannies as chasseurs left their posts. It snaked up drain pipes. It slithered through windows, devouring the city inch by inch, homes, shops, people. A keen cry sounded from the street. Coco. She fought to reach us, knives flashing, plunging into anyone foolish enough to block her path. The crowd compounded to a mob around her. Bodies collided. Women pulled their children from the street, shrieking and pounding on the nearest doors, while foolish men attempted to enter the fray.
The magic, it's too...
Lou shuddered on a cough, still immersed in her patterns, as Coco finally broke through the crowd.
It isn't mine!
Coco circled the platform frantically, seeking a gap in the flames. Her cries were lost amidst the tumult.
I'm almost,
Beau's fingers scrabbled at the ropes.
Got them!
Lou's voice rose to a scream now. It tore from her throat, raw and vicious, terrified.
It's too late!
Just leave, brother!
My own voice joined hers.
Go!
The fire climbed up our legs now, up his. It consumed all in its path, rope, clothing, skin. Without the stake to support him, Beau fell against us.
I'm not leaving you.
But his knees gave out with the words, and he crumpled. His face contorted as he bellowed in pain, as blisters ruptured his throat, his face.
Yes, you are,
Lou said through gritted teeth. She looked to Coco with tears in her eyes.
Take care of each other.
The ropes at her ankles had disintegrated, and she lifted a leg, kicking him squarely in the chest. He stumbled backward from the platform, a pillar of flame, and fell straight into Coco's arms. Coco stared at him in horror.
No!
She shook her head frantically, dropping to the snow, packing it over his skin. He thrashed helplessly.
Beau! Beau! Look at me!
Tendrils curled up her arms now, but she ignored them. My own muscles jerked and twitched as I watched, helpless. The snow did nothing to suppress the flame. There was no escape from this. No extinguishant. No magic to help us now. Not even Luz. No, 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 please. Bo, Bo!
I'm so sorry, Reed.
Lou gasped.
I can't stop it, but I can help.
She twisted to look in my eyes.
I love you. Find peace.
Find peace. The words snapped and crackled between us, out of place. Surely I'd misheard her. They couldn't be right, because here, burning in a lake of black fire, there could be no peace. Not for her, not for me, not as our bones melted and our skin peeled. She flexed her hand. The ropes on my wrists snapped in response, and I flew from the platform in a rush of hot air. Landing hard on the street, I twisted to look at her, but I could no longer see, no longer hear. Pain stole my senses, and my golden pattern scattered into dust, settling as a veil over the scene. Except it wasn't this scene any longer. The mob dimmed amidst the gold, replaced by another crowd. The black fire vanished, a different stake pierced the sky, and a different witch writhed against it. Her corn silk hair burned first. I stood before the platform, hands clasped, with the archbishop beside me. A balasarda gleamed at my chest.
Witch killer, witch killer, witch killer.
The memory dissipated before I could fully grasp it. But the pain, the excruciating heat, it vanished abruptly as new magic burst around us. It sent overpower the smoke, the cooked flesh. Though flame still devoured my clothing, blistered my skin, I felt only cold snow. Beside me, Bo's eyes snapped open. He settled in Coco's arms. Then Lou began to scream. She screamed and she screamed until her throat should have torn open at the sound, until her heart should have stopped. The agony on her face shone clear as she writhed, like her pain had tripled, quadrupled. Understanding dawned. I struggled to my feet. She'd taken our pain from us. It was all she could do.
Lou!
Coco sobbed her name, rocking Bo as they burned, pleading. When her tears fell, they hissed against his face. Instead of stoking the fire, however, the drops quenched it. His skin sizzled, healed. Thunder rumbled overhead.
Don't do this, Lou, please.
Another memory resurfaced without warning, stronger than the first. I fell to my knees once more.
When?
When did you know?
During the witch burning. When Lou had her fit. Everyone thought Lou was seizing, but I saw her. I smelled the magic.
A deeper pain than fire erupted at the memory, even as Coco's tears thickened. As the first drops of rain fell, Coco's rain. She'd said all along her grief had sparked this fire. Now it seemed her love would soothe it. Wherever the drops touched, the ground sputtered and steamed. The flames quelled, but loose screams, they continued. They cleaved me in two. Clutching my head, I pitched forward. The rain soaked my shirt, my skin. My blisters closed.
She was burning, Reed. I don't know how, but she took away that witch's pain. She gave it to herself.
But I'd already known. In the deepest part of me, I'd drawn the connection. I'd recognized Lou's selflessness even then. Her sacrifice. I'd been unable to admit it at the time, unable to confront the truth, even as I'd nursed my dying wife back to health, because she had almost died to save another. In that moment, I'd fallen in love with her. The pain in my head built to a crescendo at the realization. I couldn't bear it. Incoherent, aching, roaring, I clawed at my hair, tore at my face. Vaguely, I heard the platform collapse.
felt urgent hands on my shoulders. Reed, Reed! But Bo's and Coco's shouts couldn't pierce the turmoil of my mind. Darkness edged my vision. Unconsciousness loomed. The ground rose up to meet me. A pattern shimmered into existence. At first look, it appeared gold, winding from my chest to the wreckage of the platform, to where wood and smoke and fire had engulfed Lou. When I lifted a trembling hand, however, I realized I'd been wrong. The cord glimmered with dimension. The blue of my coat, the white of snowflakes, the red of blood in a blacksmith's shop. 100 more colors, memories, all twining together, pressed into a single strand. I pulled it. Energy pulsed outward in a wave, and I collapsed beneath its weight, ears ringing with silence, bleeding with it. A high-pitched, primal scream shattered the street. Not from Lou, not from Coco. Struggling to lift my head, to see through the hysterical crowd, the pouring rain, I recognized the pale features and moonbeam hair of Morgane LeBlanc. She, too, had crumpled. Those nearest her bolted when they saw her, slipping in the melted snow, the mud, weeping and crying out for loved ones, their faces smeared with soot. Josephine crouched beside Morgane, her brow furrowed in confusion. Behind them, Nicolina smiled. I hurtled toward the platform without a backward glance. My voice broke on Lou's name. I remembered her. I remembered the Dolor, the attic, the rooftop, the entire story she'd woven in the wooden cage. It had all been true. It had all been real. "I'll find you again," I'd told her. She'd taken the promise to heart. She hadn't given up on me. Not when I'd insulted her, threatened her, envisioned 1,000 different ways to kill her. I'd think of 1,000 others to atone. I'd never leave her again. My voice gained strength. It gained hope. "Lou! Lou!" She still didn't answer. With the fire at last extinguished by Coco's rain, the wreckage smoked gently. Diving into it, I tore through the charred boards, the ash, the remnants of the stake. Bo and Coco followed hot on my heels. "Where are you?" I asked under my breath, resting aside plank after plank. "Come on, where are you?" Pale hands joined mine as I searched. Celie, darker ones, Jean-Luc, they met my gaze with determined expressions and terse nods. They didn't falter, even as my own body shook. "Please, please, please." When a board to my right shifted, untouched, I wrenched it free. She had to be here. She had to be. Lou exploded upward in a shower of light.